From our gospel lesson from Luke 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who has invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place. So when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who will exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. Or when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. One of the most intriguing and exciting things and elements about preparing a sermon each Sunday is exploring the rich depth of information flowing out from new biblical interpretation and new scholarship. And it's fascinating for me to learn and then to share with you how, for instance, an often overlooked word or phrase can turn the traditional biblical interpretation of that story on its head, and leading, therefore, to an entirely new revelation. Well, that is simply not the case with today's gospel lesson from Luke 14. While there is always some new nuance to explore, this passage is actually quite easy to comprehend in understanding what Jesus has to say about being a humble guest and being an inclusive host. And one reason for the simplicity is that what Jesus describes at the dinner party he attended can just as easily be observed today. I would suspect that we have all witnessed, if not participated in, what Jesus describes. Certain guests jockeying to sit at the place of highest honor next to the host, or what we often refer to as the best seat in the house. And when this happens, it's interesting to recognize where others, perhaps yourself, appear to fall in the pecking order. That colloquial term for a hierarchical system of social organization. This hierarchical model has been known to humans since tribal days. And it continues to be the principal model in the business world and in the military. And business types sometimes even say when it comes to a promotion, he or she is next in the pecking order. Without intending to be judgmental, what is your experience in playing this game? For yes, it is a game that everyone plays, to some extent, at some time or another. It is very deeply ingrained in our own culture and society, and perhaps it's even part of our very DNA as human beings, part of the survival of the fittest. Perhaps there was even a defined pecking order in your family when you were growing up, especially if you had brothers and sisters. I was always reminded by my older brother of where I stood. And yes, I say that as a bitter middle child. And what about the pecking order of when you were in school? The athletes and the cheerleaders were always higher up the rung of the ladder than those of us who sang in the choir. What about where you work? Or in other organizations of which you were a member? It can even be recognized, in fact, in many assisted living centers, especially in the dining hall, taking on much of the same attitude and behavior as a school lunchroom. And do I dare ask if there is a pecking order here at College Hill? Well, I've always considered the role of a pastor to be a great equalizer, with the goal, admittedly not always reached, of not playing favorites or showing partiality. Because ultimately, no one is more important than any other human being, because all are equal in the eyes of God. Now, today's gospel reading gives Jesus' timeless perspective on this phenomenon that we know of as climbing the social ladder. And upon observing the behavior of guests at a dinner party, scurrying to sit at the place of highest honor, Jesus tells a parable of a wedding banquet and advises choosing the lowest place, far removed from the head table. For by doing so, one avoids the public embarrassment if asked by the host to move and sit in another seat. But on the other hand, if one takes a lower seat, on occasion, may even be called up to a higher place of honor near the head table. Well, interestingly, this has actually happened to me at a wedding banquet, when I was asked to move up to where the wedding party sat. And I realized it had much more to do with my role and position as a pastor. Now, ancient customs in Jesus' day were dictated by a system of honor and shame. And while each culture in history, including our own, defines for itself what brings honor or what leads to shame, it's helpful to remember that honor is not seized by trying to gain prominence for oneself. Rather, honor must be conferred upon and given by others. Now, in and of itself, all of this is of no real particular religious significance, but rather it's just sound practical advice on good social behavior. But Luke, however, writes that since Jesus spoke this as a parable, these instructions are meant by him not simply to discuss proper social etiquette. Instead, Jesus reveals the appropriate behavior of those of us who call ourselves followers, disciples of the ways and teachings of Jesus. What Jesus had in mind is an explanation of his favorite topic, how things are to be ordered within the realm, kingdom, household of God. And you may choose for yourself your preferred metaphor. But basically, it's what would life look like if we lived by God's rule of loving one another. Now, this made explicit in the closing statement, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." And this pronouncement, with its theme of this reversal of fortunes, is quite common in the Gospels, and especially in the Gospel of Luke. So here then is a biblical principle and warning that applies to each one of us. We must not fall into the prideful trap of trying to manipulate, intimidate, bully, compromise, or peck our way to the top. Jesus is not condemning those who just happen to be on the top rung of the ladder, but rather offers a critique and warning of how one gets there. Let us all remember that our worth as human beings is not ultimately measured by the recognition and the honor that we get from others, but rather by the very certainty, the faith, that we are loved by God and we are accepted by God. So know that God loves you and God accepts you. After these instructive observations concerning the rules of behavior in the realm or kingdom of God, about being a humble dinner guest, Jesus turns to give lessons about being an inclusive dinner host. And if you have ever hosted a dinner party, you know that it carries with it many pleasant and positive connotations and benefits, such as the opportunity to share hospitality and generosity and graciousness and kindness and concern for the comfort of others. Jesus observes, however, that on occasion hosting can turn into an act by which one person actually tries to gain power over others and put them in his or her debt. It's the old gift with strings attached technique, and it is the worst kind of hospitality, for its motivation takes on a very self-serving purpose. Again, Jesus is not giving lessons on social graces and proper etiquette. The point is that hosting can be a way of making others feel that they are in your debt, so that they will in turn reciprocate when preparing their guest list. Now, the scripture passage reveals that a host who expects a return on his or her invitation will tend to not offer food or service or help or hospitality to those who cannot repay them. And so the guest list consists only of persons who are able to return the favor. And historically, gratitude became a form of reciprocity and indebtedness, where one has an actual duty and an obligation to do something in return for the person who does something for you. It's a system of benefactor and beneficiary. And in legal terms, that is what is called a quid pro quo. And we fall into this in common ways ourselves. And Diana Butler Bass, this year's speaker at the Harold E. Hill Lecture Series, does go into great detail in her latest book about all of this called Grateful, which, in fact, our book study group will start looking at this very month. So look at the recent newsletter for the time and place. And let us look then at our own motivation for giving or receiving favors and gifts to others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Therefore, verse 12 through 14 state, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Jesus is not telling us that we can't ever eat dinner with our friends. Rather, he is calling for behavior that lives out this conviction about being part of the household of God. We are called to invite to the table, into our fellowship, those who have little or no status in society. And by application, this has a lot to say about who we invite and extend genuine hospitality to here at this church. For example, may it never be the case that we are more inviting and hospitable to those who seem to have a higher social standing than those who do not. It is Jesus, then, who models how to be an inclusive host and reminds us that everyone is invited to the table. And Luke certainly means to extend this teaching to the invitation to the Lord's Supper, where Christ is the host. So I'll leave you with this question to reflect upon this week. How can you and I, and how can we together as a congregation and a community of faith, live by these rules of God's realm in ways that use the power and the position and, yes, the privilege that we have in life and use it with humility? And in ways that does invite the poor and the outcast, the forgotten and the uninvited to the table and into our fellowship. By application, perhaps we can keep this in mind when choosing who to sit by at one of our own potlucks. And in the process of being a humble guest and an inclusive host, let us try very hard, at least in this community of faith, to leave the pecking order to the chickens.